Within the pages of the Bible are the answers to man's most pressing needs. As you listen to the following message, you're encouraged to write down the scripture references as they are given, and to accept only what you can read for yourself from your own Bible. If you wish, you are also welcome to tape record this entire presentation for future study. All quotations are taken from the King James Version of the Bible, unless otherwise indicated.
This is tape number 119. What is hell like? Hell is eternal. According to Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, Jesus said, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Romans chapter 16, verse 26, speaks of the everlasting God. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, refers to the eternal Spirit. There are four expressions in these three verses to be considered. They are everlasting punishment, eternal life, everlasting God, and eternal Spirit. The only difference between everlasting and eternal in our language is a difference in spelling. They mean the same thing. The Greek word translated as everlasting or eternal in these three passages is the same. It is aionios, which means eternal, everlasting, without end, never to cease, or indeterminate as to duration. There is not an argument which can be made against the eternality of hell which cannot be applied with equal force against the eternality of God the Father, God the Spirit, and heaven. If one were to take the position that hell will last only for 1,000 years, to be consistent, he would also have to contend that the Father, Spirit, and heaven will last for only 1,000 years. That is true, for the same word used to describe the duration of hell's punishment is also used to describe the duration of the Father, Spirit, and heaven. The very moment the disobedient cease to be punished, the righteous will cease to be blessed, and the Father and Spirit will cease to exist. Hell's punishment will continue forever and ever. Two arguments advanced against this position are as follows. First, some say that would make hell too long. They argue that it would not be right to punish one eternally for 5 years of disobedience. If that's true, it would also be wrong to bless one eternally who had lived for only 5 years in obedience to God's will. If not, why not? The same argument used to rid the Bible of the doctrine of hell can be used with equal validity against the Bible doctrine of heaven. Those who feel that eternal punishment is too long reflect upon every system of justice in the world. How does one determine the enormity of an act? By the time it takes to perform it, or by the act itself? For example, in 15 seconds, a man could kill a dozen people by throwing a hand grenade into a crowded store. If that were done, should the killer go to prison for only 15 seconds? Should he be placed in the penitentiary for 60 seconds? Would the demands of justice be satisfied if he served a jail sentence of 2 minutes? All know if he were able to escape execution, he would have to spend the rest of his life behind bars for an act which took only 15 seconds to perform. The heinousness of evil is seen in the act itself rather than by the time involved in its perpetration. The most horrible thing anyone can do is live in rebellion to the will of Almighty God. Those who live 5 years, 5 months, 5 weeks, or 5 days in defiance of the Lord and die in that condition will be punished in hell forever. Second, there are those who believe the punishment of Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, means eternal annihilation. They maintain that the disobedient will be cast into the fires of hell and simply experience a cessation of all existence. When Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, speaks of a second death, they understand it to refer to a second physical death. In their view, when one dies the first time, he goes back to where Adam was before he was created. Where was Adam before he was created? He wasn't. They believe at the Lord's second coming, the dead will be recreated, and those who have rejected the Savior will be burned, experience a second physical death, and be annihilated forever. Everlasting punishment to them means to be dead like an animal eternally. In response to that position, consider the word translated as punishment at Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. It is kolosin, which means to chastise or torment. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it is translated as torment. Read Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, and notice that four times the rich man in the flames of Hades is described as being in anguish or torment. See Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, and chapter 20, verse 10, where the word torment is used to describe the fate of the unsaved. If those who leave this world unprepared to meet God go into eternal non-existence, how could the words torment or anguish be used to describe their state? Torment can exist only where there is consciousness. It is impossible to torment a dead dog since he's not conscious. There is a difference between a man and a dog. Man survives the grave and judgment. The unsaved will go away into everlasting, conscious, suffering torment. That is what hell is like. If you are not a Christian, or if you are a backslidden child of God, I plead with you to turn to Christ by obedience to His will and flee from the wrath to come. Please don't neglect your soul. The message